Let us now turn to Romans and chapter 8, and we shall read again from verse 35 to the end of the chapter. Romans chapter 8 and verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And in verse 37, we have these words, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. More than conquerors. Not just conquerors, but more than conquerors. But not by our own strength, but as it says here, through him that loved us. Through the strength that is in Jesus Christ. So we might say, well, surely conquerors is just about as far as you can go. Surely if you've conquered, you've conquered, and that's it. And yet it speaks here about being more than conquerors through him that loved us. Can we be more than conquerors? Yes, we can. And if we are God's people, then we are, even now, more than conquerors through him that loved us. And even more than that, we can say that we will be more and more conquerors as our life goes on. That our life is a life of continual and progressive conquest and becoming more than conquerors. And of course, there will be the ultimate final thing when we will be supremely and consummately more than conquerors through Christ who loved us, when we are with him and we share his triumph and his glory at the end of the world. Now we are going to have a look tonight at just that phrase, more than conquerors. But before we do so, I think it's necessary for us just to have a wee bit of an overview of this particularly important section of the Scriptures from verses 35 to 39. What we have here is a great question and answer. The question at the beginning in verse 35 and the answer at the end in verses 38 and 39. And in between we have like a sandwich where we look at the verse 35, verse 36, the quote from Psalm 44. That's in verse 36 and in verse 37. More than conquerors. So the question is, who shall separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Verse 35. Shall tribulation or distress or persecution and so on. What shall separate us? And the question goes on really to the end. And then the answer comes back with such tremendous force in verses 38 and 39? The answer is, nothing can. Nothing imaginable can. No power in heaven or on earth or anywhere else can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Now, does that mean that He will protect us from any kind of affliction? Does it mean that because we are never separated from His love, that no trial or difficulty or affliction will come upon us? Well, I think that if we know anything about the Christian life, we know that that is hardly the case. We read in verse 35, the end of the verse there, shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword, shall these separate us? And the question itself infers that these things are things that may come our way as true children of God and true followers and lovers of the Lord Jesus Christ. It assumes the possibility of things that may come upon us. And then we have in verse 36 what is just a more or less word for word quote from the psalm that we sang together in Psalm 44. These words, it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. And that describes further the kind of things that the people of God have to reckon that they will come up against. And this is for thy sake in all these things. We're more than conquerors. In verse 36, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. All these things come for the sake of Christ, because we carry the name and we carry the repute of Jesus Christ. That is why these things come upon us. Now, should we be apprehensive about these things? Of course, we are apprehensive. And we are perhaps very apprehensive in a real way. What might even come upon us, even in our own country? But one thing that we do not need to be concerned about is that any of these things can separate us from the love of Christ. There is nothing that can separate us from Him. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. In all these things and through Him. Now, we have here this question and answer, and the question and answer is to assure and to comfort those who experience the things that we have in verses 35 and 36. That these things may come upon us as the children of God. But the great question and answer here makes us and gives us that great comfort that nothing shall separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Not only that, but in all these things, in the midst of these things, if they do come upon us, and if we even have experienced something of them, these trials and tribulations, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. How then can we be more than conquerors in all these things? How will it be possible for us to be able to say that we are more than conquerors, even if all these horrendous things come upon us? That is what the Word says to us, and that is what we are going to look at now. How is it that we can be more than conquerors in all these things? Obviously, the answer in a phrase is through Him. Through Him. Let's just look at this in just a little more detail. First of all, we can be more than conquerors in all these things through Him that loved us, because it is God's usual way of working. Yes, that is God's usual way of working. Not just to make us conquerors, but to make us more than conquerors. What do I mean? Well, I'm referring to a pattern which is easily discernible in God's way of working. If we look at the scriptures, we see that pattern there, how God works in such a way that He doesn't just make us conquerors, He doesn't just make us victors, but He makes us more than conquerors and gives us more than victory. What am I speaking about? Well, the obvious and supreme example of this is, of course, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Think about it. Just when His enemies thought that they had finished Him off, just when they thought that they had got the supreme and total victory over Him, they had eliminated Him, just then the tomb is empty. God shows how He can make us more than conquerors. That is the supreme example. Now there's a wonderful verse in the New Testament which expounds this principle. Colossians 2:15. What it says about Christ. Having spoiled principalities and powers, He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. And the key thing there is, He made a show of them openly. It wasn't just that He was victorious or conqueror over them. It was more than that. He was more than conqueror. He made a show of them openly. He brings His enemies right up to the point where they think they have the victory, where they think they have Christ and His people in the vice grip of their power. And He makes a show of them, an open show of them. He just spoils them and makes a show of them openly. That is a pattern we can find in God's workings right through the Bible. He goes beyond victory for His people. He makes His people more than conquerors. He doesn't just defeat the enemies of His people, but He makes an open show of them. He covers them with shame. Examples. David and Goliath. Remember the scene? The enemies of God's people. God allows them to come right up, as it were, to the crest of the hill, where they were ready just to push God's people right over, where they thought they had them covering without any hope at all of victory. Just then, when they were really smelling victory, just then, in steps David with a sling. A sling and a stone. And he destroys the giant. And they all take flight. The tables are turned. It is not just victory, but it is making an open show of them. He makes his people more than conquerors, because he brings disgrace upon his enemies. He puts them to shame. So it is in the case of Haman the Syrian. Just when he thought he had the victory, the tables are turned on him, and the gallows that he had made for Mordecai, who hangs on it? Haman himself hangs on it. He makes a show of his enemies openly. Same with Pharaoh, king of Egypt. He had the children of Israel closed in, trapped, with the Red Sea there preventing them from going forwards, and his horses behind, preventing them from running away. They had nowhere to go. What happens? Parts the Red Sea, they go over dry shod, and Pharaoh's troops follows them, and the floods come in upon them. Let us keep that before us, that God makes an open show of his enemies. He makes his people more than conquerors. We looked some time ago at Armageddon. There's another example. Just when the nations are gathered together, Gog and Magog, and they think that the victory is already theirs. Just at that point, God intervenes with a miracle. The battle isn't even long. It's short. And suddenly, it's all over. Victory for his people. We could go on. You read your Bible and you will see again and again and again how God makes his people more than conquerors. He gives them more than victory. He makes an open show of their enemies. Read in Psalm 2, the heathen's rage against the Lord and his anointed. And they say, let us break their bands from us. Let us break their cords, these restrictions. Let us break them asunder. What does it say? He that sits in heaven shall laugh. He shall have them in derision. There is this pattern in God's way of working, where he makes his people more than conquerors. He goes beyond giving them the conquest. He makes an open show. Especially when we think of this. Just try, I know it's very difficult, try and picture the end of the world, when the truth shall all be revealed. Think of all the enemies of God, with all their proud arrogance, with all their rage against the Lord and his anointed, with all the increasing hatred against this book and what it says, increasing desire abroad that this book should be declared a hate document. One day, all these people, can you imagine it? The Lord's people are going to be vindicated. These people's lies are going to be exposed. They're going to be put to shame. The Lord will make his people more than conquerors through him that loved us. In all these things, we are more than conquerors. Both now and as Christian life stretches on and right through to the final consummation. That's the certainty of certainties that God will make his people more than conquerors through him that loved us. And secondly, that he makes us more than conquerors, even in the present persecutions and afflictions. In all these things of verse 35 and verse 36, these present persecutions that are on his people, he makes them more than conquerors in all these things, in the midst of it. Not when it's over, but in the midst of it, more than conquerors already. How can that be? Well, let's look at another aspect of God's work. The great invisible work that is going on continually. In every believer, there is a great internal invisible work going on, progressing relentlessly. And even our own stubbornness and even our own resistance cannot halt that progress, the progress of that work. You see, one of the great instruments in moving that work on is what Peter calls the trial of our faith. He says it's more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire. God is producing not just gold. Job says, when he hath tried me, I will come forth as gold. Peter goes further, and after the trial, we shall come forth as something more than gold, more precious than gold, which perisheth. This which God brings forth in his people, this great work, it is a work which even fire cannot destroy. It is a work which is now hidden. You cannot see it in yourself. Other people may see some signs and marks of it in you. But I can pretty certainly say that no true child of God will be able to say, I can see that work in myself. Because it is necessarily hidden. Because the one thing that would destroy that work, it was possible, was for us to be able to look at it and say, here's me. Look what I have achieved. Look what I have grown to. Look at my holiness. Can't do that. Because It is a hidden work and must remain so. But it is ready to be revealed in the day of Jesus Christ. Hidden now. We can't see it. The world cannot see it. Enemies of the gospel cannot see it. All they see is this small, feeble, faltering group or groups struggling along, struggling as if they were struggling against the current. That's all they see. But there is the day of revelation, the day when all will be revealed, when it will be so abundantly clear to everyone that the attempts of the enemy to extinguish the church have actually enriched the church. Yes. The trials, the tribulations, the work of the enemy, the work of Satan. So often works towards the greater sanctification of God's people. That infinitely precious work, that work which God alone sees, described in the Bible as God working in us that which is pleasing in His sight. That precious work, now hidden. The enemies of the gospel thinking they are winning the victory. Soon they say there will be no church. Soon they say the Bible will just be cast aside by all. Soon there will be no Christianity. They'll say, perhaps even say, there'll be no more religion. Well, a great utopian world, they say, where there is no religion. That's the way many of them think. That religion is the biggest curse on the world. But this work is going on. And the day of revelation will come. And that great work will be revealed. And what will they see? What will their dismay and despair be? It will be this. I contributed to that work. All my enmity and all my efforts to extinguish it have made it stronger. Yes. So God's people are more than conquerors in all these things. Yes, sometimes we suffer. Sometimes we suffer a lot of insult and a lot of vilification and even a lot of venom against us. But fact of the matter is that these enemies of the gospel are not the conquerors. We are the conquerors. In all these things, right in the midst of it happening, we are more than conquerors. Listen to what it says. All these troubles, in all these things, right in them, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. What's it going to be? What's going to show? Well, I don't know. But it'll be something to do with glory. I don't understand what glory is. Nobody really fully understands. But we know that it will be something of the glory of Jesus Christ Each day he is being formed within us. And when the revelation comes, when the curtains are drawn aside, when the shade is removed, it will be glory. Paul says these words. He says, the sufferings of this present time are not to be compared with the glory which shall be seen in us. So, in the midst of these things, what can we say? Well, we can have confidence, exercise our faith, that in the midst of trial, we are the winners. Even when the trials are directly from the enemy, we are the conquerors. And what about our afflictions? What does this do for us in our afflictions? Well, I know what it should do. And I don't know how well I will cope with great afflictions, any more than any of us does. Some people have great affliction before they leave this world. But Paul said, a man who was greatly afflicted for the gospel, our light affliction. How could he say, how could he describe his light affliction? Because, he says, it worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are unseen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are unseen are eternal. There is the unseen work, which will be eternal. Once this casing, this shell is shed off, there will be revealed the great work of God. So, in all these present things, we are more than conquerors. Thirdly, and finally, how are we more than conquerors? Well, thirdly, from the moment that we are first united to Christ, to all eternity, without interruption, without any single break or pause, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. That is the key. We are more than conquerors when we read these words. For I am persuaded, verse 38, that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. We are more than conquerors through him and in him, and in union with him. Because there is this bond of love between us and him. A bond of love which is absolutely continues. From the moment that we are united to Him, onwards into all eternity. A bond, a union, which is enduring, which is indestructible, and a love which is undiscourageable. The love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Here is Paul's great persuasion. Now notice it says that none of these things shall be able to separate us. What does that infer? It infers that these things are out to separate us. But they will not be able to. They will not be able to even create a single breach in the continuity. Nothing shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Many things will try and break that bond, but they will not succeed. They will not manage one breach or even one nick in that bond. So by the very continuity of it, by the enduringness of that love, by the fact that nothing has prevailed of all that has tried to break the bond, that nothing will have succeeded. That is in place the moment we are united with Jesus Christ. And in that continuity, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Nothing but nothing will be able to separate us. All the forces of evil, all the forces of darkness, all the discouragement of those who try and undermine the things that we believe, all the arrogant assumptions. Just heard a little bit on the radio yesterday. And it was about this party, the British National Party, and the problem of some of those who teach in our schools having views which coincide with the British National Party, extreme right-wing views. And the interviewer was interviewing this lady, and she was trying to explain how that would not bother her at all. As long as the teacher concentrated on teaching the curriculum, that we couldn't decide what the teacher believed. And the interviewer asks the question, would you be quite happy if a teacher believed that the world was created in 6 days? The assumption was that this idea was just foolishness, and it was even something that nobody should believe, that no intelligent person, and certainly no teacher should believe such a thing. All that pride, all that arrogance, sometimes it hurts. It hurt me to hear that on the radio. With nobody to stand against it. But all that will not affect the bond that the Christian has with Jesus Christ. That will continue without a breach. And in that, I would say that we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Let us pray. our gracious God. Thou knowest our state at the present time. Thou knowest the state of thy church upon this earth. There is nothing in our circumstances that is not known unto thee. But we thank thee, Lord, that the things are not just as we see them. We thank thee that the reality is one of total difference. That we are simply more than conquerors in all these things through him that loved us. Wilt thou, Lord, strengthen our faith through these things? Wilt thou help us, Lord, to go on in the strength and the confidence of our Lord, of the Lord our God, and forgive us and cleanse us in Jesus' name. Amen.